Let's look at my notes. I got paper notes today, guys.
Is this movie noteworthy is the question.
No.
I'm very surprised at the amount of notes I actually took for this movie.
My notes aren't, my favorite roles from all these people are not this movie.
I'm looking forward to Dave talking about why he picked this movie.
You guys know why I picked this movie.
No, I don't, really.
Well, you know what? Let's do a podcast about it.
And then let's do that. Yeah, fuck it. Let's do a podcast. You guys like to talk about movies, right? Oh, wait a minute. We're on right now. Could you bring the dog back out?
I'm podcasting over here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Real DMC Podcast. DMC stands for Dave, Marks, and Colin. Guys, I have one question for you. Maybe for Colin, specifically. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
I can. And unfortunately, it's not very appetizing.
Come on, man. Where's the woo? I saw you yell that out of a car many times in a drunken state. So, a little disappointed you didn't give me the woo.
Well, I'm not drunk. Maybe I should have been while I watched this movie.
The night is still young.
I definitely think that might help. Today, we're here to watch what happens when you combine Die Hard and The Towering Inferno, and you end up with 2018's Rawson Marshall Thurber directed Skyscraper.
Mr. Sawyer, you are the very first family we've had in the residential section of the Pearl.
After your security assessment, what do you think of the building?
The Pearl is the most advanced super tall structure in the world. It's a breathtaking achievement.
But?
No one really knows what would happen if things go wrong.
Let it burn.
The 96th floor is on fire.
Sarah, listen to me. The fire is not going to stop. Keep going up. Don't stop. Don't look back.
Get back.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't understand. My family's in there.
Turn around.
How did you get in the building?
Jumped off a supercrane.
What?
Just the man I was looking for. This building is protecting something that I want. You're going to get it for me. Anything can be done with the proper motivation.
No!
So, speaking of Rawson Marshall Thurber, I did a little digging, and apparently his original name is Martian. Martian?
His name is Martian? His name is Martian Manhunter Thurber?
I did a little digging, and apparently his original name is Marshall Rawson Thurber.
He switched it around?
100% better than Rawson Marshall Thurber. So, what's going on there, Rawson or Marshall? I'm not even sure how to address you. Just go by your middle name. Right? Why do you have to like actually legally change it? I don't get it. I'm giving him a hard time, by the way. He's a local boy, Barry. He went to Miramonte High School in Orinda. Mm-hmm. So a little shout out to Ross and Marshall Thurber.
Did you want to do a shout out to the mascot of the high school?
The Dolphins? No, I don't know. Okay.
Just by way of general introduction, this movie maintains an impressive 5.8 on the IMDb. So it's definitely not highly regarded. It's probably accurately rated. The other thing about this movie when it came out is it was definitely considered something of a bomb for The Rock because he'd had a pretty good string of hits up until this point, and this ended up making only, for the U.S., $68 million domestically. Did okay internationally, so they ended up making about $320 or $340 million, but it ended up being number 46 on the 2018 box office, right behind The Clock with a House in Its Walls and right in front of Insidious, The Last Key. Two movies that I have never seen.
I read the book, The House with the Clock in Its Walls.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was like 9 or 10 years old. I don't believe that Jack Black was in the novel. I believe he's in the movie, which makes it a very different movie from the book I read.
The film was actually made for a budget of $125 million, so pretty expensive. And that's why the $68 million return was not terribly impressive. This was my pick. So I'll tell you, you know, why did I pick this movie? A couple reasons.
Yes,
please do.
Please explain.
Yes, yeah.
Please.
Okay, so I think this movie is misunderstood. And I think it has to do with the fact that Rawson Marshall Thurber...
Bullshit. Nah. I'm calling bullshit.
Rawson Marshall Thurber, he's the director and the writer for this film. Now let's take a look at his amazing action film pedigree. What has he directed? Dodgeball? We're the Millers? Central Intelligence, which I never saw, but I think that's maybe an action comedy with Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. But you can't tell me that this is the guy that you put into the director's chair when you want a really compelling, well-made, legitimate action movie. I think this movie is actually a subtle satire the entire way through. I really do. And that's the way I watch this movie. And as I was watching it, because of that, I found it incredibly entertaining and I was laughing along the way. Now, granted, I have a different perspective when I watch movies, as you guys know. Just we can talk about the Justice League lineup scene as an example there. But I really do think that this is either a satire or it's a straight up homage to 80s movies. You can't watch this movie and say that anybody in their right mind would actually make this movie as a legitimate action movie. It's way too absurd, over the top. It's completely ridiculous.
I think the problem with that, though, is there's very little fun in the movie and it kind of spoils the whole movie. There's not the one-liners. There's not joking around. Like his other movie, Central Intelligence, I've actually seen. It's actually pretty fun. The Rock and Kevin Hart is like one of my favorite combos to watch on screen. They're just, the two of them work so well together. They're very funny. Like Jumanji's hilarious. Like, I love those movies. And this had none. It needed Kevin Hart in this movie to make it a good movie.
But specifically because it didn't have the funny stuff, it didn't have the one-liners. This whole movie, I really do honestly believe, this is like Slim Pickens with Dr. Strangelove, where, you know, Kubrick said, it basically told him that they were making more of a straight movie. And so his performance was, he was, you know, trying to go for more of a straight-laced portrayal of the character. And I swear to God, that's what The Rock is doing here. I think he made this movie and he told The Rock, yeah, play it straight, play it as a straight up action movie. But I think he was making a satire, because there's no way, if you look at this movie and you view it through the lens of a satire, it's very entertaining. At least I found it to be very entertaining.
Look, if this is a subtle satire, he turned the subtle dial to 11.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I watched the movie. I'd seen it before.
Yeah.
And I did not get that. And then you told me about your take on it and I laughed. And then I watched it through that lens again and I laughed again because I just did not see it. I could not pick it out. There was nothing there. He must have told everyone making the film to play it serious and forgot that he was supposed to direct it as a satire.
In my view, it's a very subtle satire.
Dave, if this movie is a subtle satire, then this podcast is a serious podcast.
Okay, well, you guys want to talk about, want to get deep, deep introspective film conversation?
It just falls so flat. Tango and Cash, you can look at that, and that movie is just goofy, bad, so bad you can kind of laugh at it. Like, it has the terrible one-liners, and it's actually ends up being fun because it's done so poorly. This one has none of that fun aspect of it. The whole thing ends up being very, very flat in my view. It's an action movie. Like, it's fine. It was entertaining. It moves quick. The plot's kind of dumb. And there's a lot of action. But to me, there was nothing gripping about any performance, any scene, even the dialogue.
No, that's exactly
it. No. Okay.
The dialogue is cheesy and terrible. And
I don't think if it's even bad enough. Like Tango and Cash is really, really bad.
Well, Tango and Cash is a total clusterfuck nightmare because of the producers, right? I mean, there
it's
were three
work
different
of
movies
art for bad dialogue. It's the like epitome. If you're looking for bad dialogue, that's the tops.
I heard a rumor about this truck.
Yeah, and that's what you almost needed. So if he was doing a satire, that's what I would expect, right? So like maybe that's what I had coming in.
I really do think it works better if you play it straight.
Okay, Dave, I'm willing to entertain this.
Yeah.
But Marcus and I are just completely unsold. So give us some examples.
The hyper family aspect of this, right? Where every time he sees his family or he's talking about his family, it's some deep bullshit schmaltzy emotional moment. Like at the end where...
Who loves you, Dave?
The Adrian moment?
Yeah, the Adrian moment where he's, Adrian, he's looking for his kid. And then he has this dramatic moment where the kid runs across first and he stands there. And then when he goes over there and the crowd is watching them. There's no way that anybody can look at that and say that that was intended to be a serious, like a genuine serious moment in an action movie. I just don't think so. I really don't.
What else? What else you got? Because I just thought that was just a complete, you know, ripoff of Rocky. But I wasn't laughing.
I thought it was a diehard moment when he came into the crowd to see his wife.
Yeah, to me, this is a straight ripoff of Die Hard. It just doesn't do it very well.
Die Hard via the Towering Inferno, for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's totally. It's basically somebody sat in a room somewhere and said, let's take the Towering Inferno and turn it into Die Hard.
Did you say the Towering Inferno?
Towering Inferno? Interesting. I don't know what that guy was smoking when he was talking, but I would take the Towering Inferno and pair it up with Die Hard. I mean, that's exactly what this is. I did not know who Rawson Marshall Thurber was until I looked at his IMDb and I was like, oh, I have not seen Dodgeball. But I love We're the Millers. That's a really good movie, and it's funny.
Right.
This is also the man who brought you.
Terry Tate, Office linebacker.
Exactly.
Absolutely my favorite commercials of all time. They are so, so great. You kill the Joe, you make some Mo.
However, this movie is none of that. There is nothing there.
That's exactly my point. The fact that it was him, the fact that you said it was a satire. Have you seen We're the Millers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's really good. Love it. Right?
It's a great comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's what I was expecting out of it. I'm like, okay, he can do a satire on a movie. And even I've seen Central Intelligence. It's a really fun movie. This missed all of that fun.
This was Ross and Marshall Thurber's attempt to make a big action spectacle. And he accomplished that. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good action movie. It just falls flat. It tries too much to recreate what was great about Die Hard, but it just didn't do it. Just didn't capture that magic. But it's a great looking film. And I personally forget about Dwayne Johnson. I think the real star of this movie is the skyscraper itself. Great design.
Yeah, the production design in this movie is pretty great.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
But this is pretty much a straight formulaic action movie. No great performances, you know, like no one really to call out. I'm still not even sold on Dwayne Johnson as an action hero. I haven't seen anything from him where I say like, oh, that's a great movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen Jumanji?
I have not.
Jumanji's really fun.
Jumanji's.
Yeah, check out Jumanji.
Okay, I will check out Jumanji. Now, I haven't seen the Fast and Furious ones.
The Rundown? The Rundown's actually pretty good.
I've not seen The Rundown. I've seen the Fast and Furious ones, but he's not the star of that.
Yeah.
And so I can't say that. But
Central Intelligence was fun too. Like he's got a couple where he's paired with Kevin Hart. That's really... It's just fun.
You know, I've seen like San Andreas. I saw Fast Five. I saw the other guys. He was good in the other guys, but again, it's not his vehicle. San Andreas was pretty much straight up ridiculous action movie, not unlike Skyscraper.
That is a direct point of comparison that I would argue where you can see the difference, because San Andreas is your standard action film disaster epic type thing. I mean, and this is just, it's okay. It's just for me. I understand. But it's something different. You can just take the crane jump, right?
Yeah.
There's no way he ever makes that jump. It's not even within the realm of possibility, right?
You do know that this is a Hollywood action movie and most of the stunts are completely unrealistic.
What?
In these movies.
Oh, come on. Don't ruin movies for me, man. Yeah.
I think Fast and the Furious takes it so much farther that it's like more totally ridiculous that this one doesn't go far enough, I think, is the... If you're not trying to sell me it as a satire, it needs to go way, way further out. Like, I get the straight man, like Leslie Nielsen in, like, Airplane and some of the other ones. He's playing the straight guy. He does it fantastically.
But everyone's playing the straight man in this movie.
But I swear to God, I see that in every single scene of this movie.
I didn't pick up on it.
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. But unfortunately, this movie and then the Snyder Cut hero lineup, I didn't see anything there. I'm just wondering, Dave, do you see dead people?
I don't see dead people, but I may see things that you guys don't see in movies, and that's okay. We can have different film experiences.
Have you done any research online? Like, do other people say similar things?
I saw a few articles where people were referencing and trying to make a case that was how this movie was filmed.
Did they make their case?
I didn't read far into it because I was already sold, so.
All right, well, why don't we agree to disagree?
That's fair. You guys can talk about it as an action movie, and I can talk about it as the... utterly ridiculous, satirical spectacle that I think it is.
Well, if you take out the satirical part, I agree with you 100%.
Okay. Well, we can agree on something. Speaking of cast, we already talked about The Rock. Anything else you guys want to say about Dwayne Johnson as an actor?
I think I already said it, which is that I just haven't been impressed so far. But I will watch Jumanji.
Yeah, Jumanji is surprisingly fun.
The first one. I haven't seen the second one
yet. What's that other one? What's The Rundown about?
Oh, that was actually one of his early films, and he was there with, I think it was Sean William Scott. I remember being fairly entertaining. It's kind of like Romancing the Stone, sort of a light comedy action movie.
See,
it has a fun performance from Christopher Walken.
Interesting. Okay, Christopher Walken. Now, I really like Drax. What's his name?
Dave Bautista.
Dave Bautista. Yeah, we just did Army of the Dead, and I completely forgot his name already. Dave Bautista, I really like. To me, he's better than Dwayne Johnson. What do you think?
They're different people. Dwayne's, he's a bit funnier, I think, in a friendly way. I don't know. I don't know.
He's funny in a friendly way.
He's funny in a friendly way.
Almost like family-friendly.
Well, he loves his family, as this movie clearly hits you over the head with constantly.
Let me ask you a question. Daddy loves who?
Me.
Dad loves who?
Me.
Dad loves who?
Me.
Can't hear you. Confident. Not confident. Dad loves
me.
Who?
Me.
Okay, okay. You know what? You're both right because Daddy loves you most.
Aww.
But the roles that Dwayne Johnson has taken has been more like family movies and things like that. He's got the new Jungle Cruise coming up with
Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
I like Dave Bautista's comedic straight man type delivery.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like he's, and Dwayne Johnson probably couldn't do that as well. He's too big of a star, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take Dave Bautista and put him in Skyscraper in the same role. What do you think? I think it might work then.
I don't think it works as well, honestly.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just...
Right, we can move on.
There's a bunch of people I know. No one really has that great of a performance.
Yeah, Nev Campbell, I'm a big fan of. I've always liked her from early on, The Party of 5 Days. I'm so glad Julia Salinger has grown up to be a naval surgeon. It's a great progression in her life.
She's a ferocious naval surgeon.
She is.
Not only that, but she knows she can speak Mandarin, Cantonese, and kick ass.
Yeah.
So I think she was fine. Like, I don't think it was a great role for her. She did fine with it, but I don't think it was all.
It's funny because once you get past Scream and what's the Kevin Bacon film?
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, Wild Things.
It's Wild Things. Don't you mean Kevin Dillon?
Actually, Kevin Bacon and Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon. Is Kevin Bacon in that movie?
But what about, is Matt Bacon in that movie? Or is it Kevin Dillon?
Matt Bacon.
There is a Kevin Dillon, though, isn't there?
Yes, he's in Entourage. He's Johnny Drama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, Brian Flagg in the Blob remake from the late 80s, which is highly recommended. I like that movie.
That was pretty good, I have to say. I watched it.
Did you recognize his partner? The one who set him up?
Oh, Pablo Schreiber?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Porn stash. Gotta love porn stash.
Nick Sabatka?
Yes, Nicky Sabatka.
From The Wire?
Yeah, yeah. Also happens to be Leo Schreiber's brother. Well, half-brother.
Well, and of course, so Chin Han, it was immediately recognizable from The Dark Knight, among other things.
Lao.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of movies.
That's the thing. I think most of the people in this cast, they're sort of like... that guy's, you know,
they're journeyman actors.
Yeah, you've seen them before. You can't quite name the movie. Basically, like Dwayne Johnson and Nev Campbell, you can name them. And Noah Taylor, who played the insurance guy / bad guy, I know him from a ton of stuff. Even Byron Mann, who played Inspector Wu, saw him recently on The Expanse. Roland Muller, who plays Corus Botha, I don't really recognize him, although he was in Atomic Blonde and I saw that, but couldn't tell you who he played. A lot of that guys. And again, I don't think they're really given much to work with. So you're not expecting great performances. You're just expecting
a building on fire.
Great action sequences. And well, you get some of those.
Yeah, it delivers in that regard. All right. Well, let's see. I can't sell you guys on my satire angle. So should we just jump into this thing and start talking about it?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, we get to something that you think is particularly satirical, then please bring it up. And we can shoot it down.
Well, okay. So I think this whole movie is, well, we can go through it. Film opens in dramatic fashion where there is a domestic dispute that's underway. So there's a man who's taken his wife and children hostage. But what's great about this is it's in a cabin out in the snow. And I counted 9 police cars. The FBI is there, a sniper team, and they have an FBI mobile command center all set up for what appears to be a domestic violence situation.
I know. Is this guy like a domestic terrorist or something? A head of a white supremacist group or something like this? Because does the FBI send out their hostage rescue team to like every single potential hostage situation?
Right. So, and then not only that, but then you have commandos that show up. I think they might even rappel down a cliff.
They do.
And they have night vision goggles and there's 7 or 8 of them. Their entry into the building is to create a breach by putting an explosive on the side of the wall of the cabin. So again, all of this, does this sound any way rational or normal or plausible or even within what you'd want in an action movie reality for a guy holding his kid and wife hostage?
If that's the satire part, it's just not...
They didn't do it well.
Yeah, it's a little over the top, but like for an action movie...
Okay, it's over the top. That's where the satire comes from in my mind.
Yeah, but it's an action movie. I didn't think twice about it being over the top. There's been plenty of over the top action movies, so it didn't stand out to me as like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. If he's trying for subtle, he got subtle. But if you're trying for like, okay, this can be funny, you'd have to do like a Naked Gun type. And then there's like 8 helicopters. You have to like...
Yeah, no. That's why I'm saying it's subtle. Like,
then there's the, you know, aircraft carrier off the coast. If that's what you're going for, you're going to have to like really sell it.
I understand. I have a different interpretation.
Yeah. No, you may not be wrong, but I think it's just too subtle.
They go in, the guy has his kids, there's this dramatic moment where people are putting down their guns, then of course he has a vest and he blows up the cabin, and the next thing you see is Dwayne Johnson, he's on the gurney and he's getting wheeled in, and what happens? This angelic figure with light streaming out from behind her head looks over him and says that he's going to be okay, and she's the naval surgeon. I'm telling you, man, this thing is ultra cheese dick every step of the way.
Cheese dick is not satire. Cheese dick is just over the top cheese. That's all right.
And that's where, like, the Independence Day kind of needs that fun factor. Okay, this guy blew off his leg. It's hard to laugh at that, right? It's hard to say, like, oh, this is a this guy just blew up his daughter. A bunch of the FBI crew got killed. He's going into surgery and he lives.
You don't find that funny?
Maybe she should have, like, don't worry, I'm going to put you back together. And then she throws his leg up on top of his chest and she's like, can you hold this for a second?
Yeah, something like that. Or I'll get most of you, most of you together.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what it needed. Like, if it was going for that, like, it needed a little more fun. It's a little, like serious and too much, I thought.
Well, remember when I was texting you when I was watching this movie the very first time, I said, this is either the most tone-deaf action movie ever made or it's a satire. So I had to go satire.
Well, I don't think it's tone-deaf either. I think it's really pretty much on point for an action spectacle.
No, I think it's way too stupid to be in any way considered a legitimate action movie. I just think it's too over the top.
The problem is, I think it's not good enough. It's a very forgettable action movie.
Thanks for doing my final thoughts verbatim. All right, yes, let's continue.
So there's a series of exposition where they talk about the fact that the Pearl, as it's known, is this building that has been built in Hong Kong, and it's the tallest building in the world. And it has an interesting dome at the top. The design of the building itself is actually kind of interesting.
It's cool.
I guess it's based on...
Is it based on the Tower of Barad-dûr and the Iris Eye of Sauron?
No, it's actually some sort of a...
Is it based on the World Cup trophy?
It's a dragon myth, I think, in Chinese culture about somebody who swallowed a pearl and became a dragon. Like the actual, that's the mythology behind it. So that's the design of the building, took that into account.
The World Cup trophy, isn't that the swirl up there and like...
Sort of.
Soccer ball on the top.
Yeah. Or I think it's actually, is it a globe? I don't know. I think the fact that Dave has dived deep into the Chinese mythology sort of speaks to the fact that he's like way into this movie.
I wouldn't go way into this movie, trust me.
Yeah, do you have a poster?
I do not have a poster.
To me, it looks like someone's using chopsticks to pick up a pea.
or somebody said that it looks like an eel swallowing a basketball. Like, that's another one I heard.
Yeah.
I did really like the exposition that they did through the news report talking about the opening of the building. And then, like, they were able to go through and cover a lot of the security aspect. It's the tallest building in the world. And they covered a lot
of how they generate power.
Two huge wind turbines. And
yeah. The skyscraper itself is very cool. It looks amazing. I'm sold on it.
Yeah, and it's setting you up for all the things you expect to come. Okay, how are all these things going to fit into the movie? And
right, and then I'm waiting
kind of
for
foreshadowing.
The terrorists to come in so that they could steal something very precious in the building. And
like bearer bonds?
Yeah, bearer bonds. We'll talk about the whole MacGuffin a little while later. Goodness.
The MacGuffin is not necessarily a very strong MacGuffin, I don't think.
No. Well, also the whole point, we can get into it, the whole point, like, why are they hiring this guy? Like, none of that still makes much sense at all. Like,
I guess it's just because he's a patsy.
Well, let's get to that point, because the motivation for his ex-partner is just about the most ridiculous turn, you know, that is unsupported by anything else the character does at any point in the movie. So moving ahead, so we do then see The Rock and Neve Campbell, and they're living in Hong Kong, and they go through a process of showing him attach his leg, so the bottom part of his leg was blown off. We referenced that earlier, but I'm not really sure why. Why do they make him an amputee in this film? What's the point of that? Is it just so he can use the leg to do interesting things? Because it doesn't really go anywhere.
I think it's because Dwayne Johnson can't run, and so they needed an excuse. They had him running in a few times. This guy looks awful running. He's got a terrible gait. We really need him to have a reason for this.
He can't run like the wind like William Shatner. He just doesn't have a beautiful form.
He just runs terribly. Like, he does not look good when he's running.
He was running with, you know, a prosthetic leg, so.
Well, man, I think that's why they gave him the prosthetic leg. It's because it made, like, okay, explains why he can't run.
Chicken or egg?
He played football, right?
Yeah, he was a defensive lineman. Yeah.
Defensive lineman, okay.
And yeah, they can't run.
Yeah, exactly.
I love how, so he's taking pain medication for his leg.
10 years later.
He's got an oxy problem.
Well, you know, he's probably got chronic pain. Come on. I love it how all the tough guys in movies, when they take any sort of pills, they always do it without water. They just drop it in their mouth, chew it, and swallow it. Whatever. Just take a glass of water.
It's never like they put them in their mouth. They always throw them into their mouth from like a foot away.
And then they just dry chew. I'm a tough guy.
Well, the other thing that happens during this sequence is the very important moment of foreshadowing where his wife, she can't fix her phone. And so the instructions that he gives her is to turn off and turn on the phone to reboot it, because this is a very important plot point that comes back at the end of the film.
I did not expect that to be the foreshadowing moment.
And apparently she can't turn it on and off herself, so she asks her husband to do it.
She just likes him to do it. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. I mean, come on. Rebooting? I mean, you guys
don't
see it. Come
on, man. It worked for a 9-year-old in Jurassic Park. Hey, didn't we just have this conversation?
That's right. Linux. I know Linux.
Yeah.
Our intrepid amputee then goes to the Pearl, and this is where he's been hired to do an independent security review of the building. Again, why this guy, this one guy, can be the one who signs off on a multi-billion dollar skyscraper. It's not super clear, but okay, he has the background, I guess.
He did explain it. This was like the weakest explanation. His partner, I forget that character's name.
Ben.
His partner, Ben, said like, oh, you were the cheapest. And so cheaper than anyone else. A tech billionaire building the most sophisticated building in the entire world that's ever been made is going to go for the cheapest solution. Just seems not quite right.
Hey, man, how do you think he had all that money to build the building?
I don't know. Not a great explanation on why he got hired.
He had $6.5 billion and $6.5 billion, $5,000. $5,000. So he only had $5,000 to spend on the security audit. And he's like, fuck. All right. Who's the cheapest?
Yeah, I don't know. And I can see why like Ben was selling it to him. I think Will was saying like, why did I get this job? And I think he was just trying to sell it to him that he was cheapest. But Ben was using him to set him up for sure.
Definitely. He totally shows how he's just not up to snuff, because when they're having this meeting with Zhao and the insurance company and the security people, Will hasn't even completed his inspection. It's like, passed, pending. Why are you having this meeting if it's still pending?
Yeah.
Get your ass to the offsite facility and do your fucking inspection.
Right.
That was the last step. Come on.
Why do you have the meeting before the last step?
Because he has to go there to get the biometric tablet.
I know.
Yeah.
So this is where the techno gobbledygook in this movie is off the charts in terms of some of the ridiculousness.
Oh, right? Well, we'll talk about the tablet.
His face, and it's biometrically linked to him, so he's the only one who can use the tablet.
How come only the security assessor at this one moment is the only one to control the fire control system?
That made no sense to me. Why are you giving this one guy,
exactly,
who you just paid $5,000 to, control over a $6.5 billion skyscraper?
We're running this whole system. Here's our operations team. They have admin access. They're going to turn that off and give it to you for a little bit, and then please give it back when you're done. No, they just extend, okay, you also have admin access, and the rest of us will continue our access as normal. That just seemed like one of the bigger plot holes completely.
Are you saying that this is not technologically sound?
No.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of gaps in this whole plan.
Yeah, there is one cool moment where he goes up to the Pearl, so you're revealed as to what the big ball at the top of the skyscraper is, and it's actually a pretty cool effect. He talks about the fact that it's built with dual-facing cameras, and basically you're able to see the skyline, and it creates the effect as if you're standing on nothing. And that's actually, that's a pretty cool scene. I think that's done pretty well.
I really liked it. I like the little panels, but they didn't use the holodeck feature that much at all. It seemed like that was going to be a bigger...
Well, they do at the end, but come on.
No, but they only do the things that pop up. They don't do...
No, they do. It's just because it's at night. So you see it's the outside, but at night.
Got it. It seemed like I expected more out of that.
Zhao calls it the 8th wonder of the world.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all.
It's just a high-tech gimmick, and honestly, it's going to peter out within like 3 months.
So you don't think it's going to be the tourism boom that they're counting on?
No, definitely not.
Have you then like gone anywhere and done VR?
Exactly. And the only reason this thing exists is so you can get your high-tech House of Mirrors type finale. Or, I'm sorry, Hall of Mirrors type finale.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's really all it is.
You mean so that you can actually replay the ending of Total Recall? That's what that ending is. 100%.
I don't believe you. It seems like it's been done, and it's also like Dirty Harry, right? He goes into the funhouse mirrors. The gimmick's been
done. It's in umpteen different movies.
Isn't it in Matrix also? Don't they have like a whole mirrored section of all these people?
I don't remember.
Remember in Tango and Cash, it didn't work so well for Perrette.
Exactly. That's another example. Yes. The ring was on the wrong finger, right? No, it was
the monogram.
Yeah. So stupid. I did like the titanium wall panic room. They did like a decent job with some of the writing and the foreshadowing. It wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't. It just sort of tropes.
I would say like the whole thing is very mediocre in the way they do all that.
Oh, this thing is just one cliche after another. It's absolutely 100% action movie cliche as you go through it. So here's an example. So he's on the boat with his partner and he has the dramatic moment where he says,
yeah, but things are a lot different now. I got a wife and kids and I haven't touched a gun in 10 years.
You're kidding.
Oh, after what happened, I just kind of put my sword down, you know. I laid it down and I'm just never going to pick it up again.
Come on, dude. Like, that's the super cheesy standard action hero dialogue.
You think this is satirical?
I think it's ripping on this as a device. Yeah, I do.
He had his leg blown off. Come on.
I think there's half this country who like lap this shit up and it's not satire.
So he has his bag stolen by a bag thief who apparently also knows parkour.
Dude, they're in Hong Kong. Duh, everyone knows parkour.
That happens automatically?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So here's my question. Why exactly did the bad guys want to steal the tablet from Will when it only works using facial recognition?
They shoved it in his face and had him unlock it.
Oh, yeah, but that was when they had to steal it again for the second time. What were they planning when they stole it for the first time?
Right. Well, not only that, but the security protocols, if it actually has it so that once you unlock it one time, it stays unlocked forever.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Like my fucking iPad, you got it every time. You open it back up again.
Right.
Maybe what they should have done was cut his head off when they stole the tablet. So then they could just, you know, every time.
Yeah. They should have jumped him at his apartment or whatever.
So I just didn't really understand this.
The fact that one single tablet could be stolen and controls the whole building seems still completely ridiculous.
Now that you have the access control, the God mode to our $6.5 billion skyscraper, why don't you take a ferry through the crowded streets of Hong Kong where no one's ever going to steal that thing from you?
A little cheesy.
Also, why not just give them the tablet at the offsite facility where it's safe and secure? But okay, I know, it's a movie.
These are all good questions. So when you go back to the building, so there is somebody who's working in the basement of the Pearl. He's a maintenance worker. And all of a sudden, the wall starts to crack. And you see this guy just kind of look. He's like, that's interesting. The wall's cracking. And then the wall explodes outwards. And he's still just like, that's interesting. And he goes over and he pulls a flashlight. He starts looking around inside.
Yeah.
If you're in the basement of a skyscraper and you see the foundation start cracking, are you just going to sit there and go, that's interesting? I might just hang out.
I'm going to fucking run out of the building.
Exactly.
And on my way out, I'm going to be like, pull the alarms. It's coming down.
He leans into the hole and all of a sudden, you know, this guy comes out and grabs his throat and kills him. That's where the bad guys, that's where Hans Gruber and the Die Hard team now enter the building, because that's basically what that scene is.
You may not know this, but Corus Botha actually was a member of Asian Dawn.
I read about him in Time magazine, actually, I recall.
Yeah, me too.
The Asian Dawn issue. So they go through this process where they then start spreading out this stuff on the floor, and there's a little moment of exposition where on the side of the barrel it says flammable when mixed with water or something like that, so you know it's bad. But what's great about this scene is they come in and they start spreading out these chemicals on the floor, and they're all wearing gas masks. And as soon as they get all the chemicals laid out on the floor, everybody takes their gas mask off.
It's like, you're supposed to keep that on, dummy.
Yeah. Wait till you get out of there, maybe.
Everybody takes 2 to 3 steps and just collapses at that point. Like, the fumes, it's killing
us.
Now
that we've spread out the 100% of the killer chemicals, now let's take off our gas masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like in Independence Day when Harry Connick Jr. took off his oxygen mask while he's flying and says, I can't breathe. No shit, Sherlock.
Soon after that, these two guys, so they are wearing maintenance outfits from the Pearl, so they've stolen those, I guess. They end up meeting the Rock's wife, so Neve Campbell and the two kids.
The Rock's wife. Sarah.
Sarah,
thank you.
We could just call her Neve.
What's funny about this scene is these two guys walk out in the hallway and, you know, she's looking at them. Do these two guys not look like the most generic terrorists you've ever seen in your life in terms of how they act?
I mean, yeah, but they could be like maintenance people.
Has she seen Die Hard? I mean, come on. Yeah.
They're just maintenance guys. To me, I was like, you're like really suspicious of these guys. You've been in this.
The building's under construction.
What, one night? Maybe like a day and a half? Yeah, you're supposed to be the only ones up there. And no wonder he's sort of surprised, because no one's supposed to be up there.
They're supposed to be at the nighttime feeding, at the nighttime panda feeding.
Why is she so suspicious? I don't know. You know how he Bota like talks to his daughter. I didn't think he was particularly
charming.
No. Evil.
I thought he was pretty creepy, actually.
I thought it was a little creepy.
I didn't think he was that creepy.
He's creepy.
He's South African. Come on.
If you have kids, he's creepy.
He's going to be creepy.
Marcus and I have kids. You don't. Trust us. He's creepy.
All right.
While this is happening, then Will is meeting with Ben. What Ben discovers is that Will had the tablet in his pocket. And so now he has to go into the bathroom and have a motivational moment to psych himself up to go take the tablet. He calls the bad guys and say that he's going to get it. What follows is actually a pretty decent fight in that apartment. I think the fight between those two is pretty good. My favorite moment is where he kicks the rock in the head and the rock's head breaks the television set screen. I thought that was a pretty good moment.
It was a good kick.
I just like, apparently the first rule of fighting a disabled guy, yank off his prosthetic.
I guess you got to try to get your advantages.
And then beat him over the head with it because it is made out of titanium.
The prosthetic had its own mind of when it comes off easily and when it stays on.
Exactly. Firm. Like when you're hanging 200 stories.
Upside down.
Yeah, hanging upside down 200 stories.
What they do is because they put the chemicals down that explode when water hits them, they use a flare to trigger the sprinklers. And that, of course, sets the entire floor on fire. And one of the kids then turns to the mom and says,
Mom, are we going to die?
Pretty rational, reasonable question from a kid under those circumstances.
She said that because, this was like very satirical. So I really laughed a lot.
I know, you're not buying it.
Okay. Sorry, Dave.
It's all right. We can have different opinions. And then the other thing is they then go to the offsite control facility. And you know it's the offsite control facility because the title card calls it such. It's the offsite control facility. There is a woman who is the leader of, she's the female leader of the bad guys. And she has these ninja abilities in terms of she kills a couple of people. And she's one of those characters that is just incredibly practiced or whatever in terms of guns and martial arts and all that kind of stuff. The only reason this woman exists in this movie is that so Neve Campbell can kick her in the face at the end. I think that's the only reason why she's there.
Yeah, no, she's just there so that they can have a girl fight at the end.
Right. That's one of the problems I think in this movie is none of the bad guys stick out particularly well. Botha and then this ninja woman or whatever.
Ninja woman. Can someone look up her name?
There are no defining characteristics of either one of those characters. So they kind of fall flat as villains, I think.
I agree. She was just a cardboard cut out of any hot,
cool, hip, hot assassin. That's who she is.
Yeah, martial artist type villain. That was her job. I especially liked at the end where there's the police shootout. She's behind a car and there's a cop in front of her and she's going to shoot him. Instead of just shooting him from behind the car, she actually does a somersault on the ground and then gets into firing position and shoots him. So she actually exposed herself for about 3 seconds to actually being shot herself, but it looked cool.
It looked cool. Yeah, I mean, that's all that matters. It has to look cool. I will say that the entry sequence into the offsite control facility where they take control, they're quite merciless because they just basically gun down all the people that are in there. That's just a turkey shoot. So feel a little bad for those guys. Here's my question. Why are the hackers always German? So the safe cracker, right, in Army of the Dead, right? He's a German guy in this case. And he plugs in the tablet. And of course, it's just like everything else. Just has to do that. And he can shut down everything and shut down the fire suppression systems and do everything in 2 to 3 minutes. No problem. But just why are Germans hackers?
They're very meticulous.
If Germans are making movies and there's a hacker, is the hacker American?
No, Ukrainian.
Ukrainian.
I think this is, again, where they missed an opportunity because they should have had the entire terrorist team be German. And then the hacker be an American dude. And then they would have pulled it off, just like Theo.
That's right. Yep. Of course, he ends up saying, I've set up the system. It's an algorithm, blah, blah, blah.
This is great. I was just like, oh boy, you're going to die.
The entire building now, it's locked out. I used my own logarithmic base cipher to encrypt it. So I am literally the only human on the planet Earth that can crack this. Yeah, it's pretty smart, right?
Not that smart.
I don't know what that guy was thinking. That was bad planning on his part.
Somebody should have tapped her on the shoulder and said, we still needed to get the code from him.
Oh! Except if you reboot the system and then it's all fine. We've got about that whole part.
Turn it on and off.
Turn on and off a $6.5 billion skyscraper. It works. This is where the movie really starts to kick into gear, because you have Will, the Rock. He makes a run for a crane, because initially he's almost captured by the police, but he then climbs a crane, which... So let's just talk about his core strength and his finger strength, just off the charts. I mean, it's pretty impressive what he does in this movie.
I believe the fire was on the 94th floor.
96th floor was the fire. He's got to climb above that.
So he actually climbs like physically like over 100, probably like 100 and, was it 120 feet at least, probably?
How about 1,200 feet?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's probably like 1,000
feet. He went 12 floors.
he went 12 floors and he broke into the bottom layer, and then his family burned to death, and there's the end of the movie. and you know what? It was all because he couldn't figure out decimal points.
In The Descent, we talked about like it was like a 50-foot climb, and that'd be hard. You ever watch American Ninja Warrior? The end of that show, they do like, I think it's a 50-foot climb. It's like five stories up a straight rope.
Mm-hmm.
And it like kills them. They can barely even do it.
Right.
So there's no way you're doing a 1,000-foot climb, even with the...
With a prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
And it's not going up a ladder. It's up the side of this crane. So it's even more difficult. So we'll just call it like 110 stories.
Yeah.
At that point, you'd be exhausted and you'd need probably a good hour to just regain your strength. Yeah.
Gatorade, maybe get some carbs in you.
Walk up the flight of stairs, 100 stories.
Yeah.
That's just going to wind you. Like, you're just not going to be able to do it, let alone like... free climbing it.
When he gets to the top, then he gets to do some monkey bars work where he's hanging 1,000 feet off the ground, just going from bar to bar so he can pull himself up by his fingertips.
Well, that's no problem because, you know, it's not like his arms are tired or anything.
Right, exactly.
The question I had was, at what point during either the FBI or the hostage negotiation did he get a crane operating training?
It's interesting. I said that too in my notes. Will Sawyer, instant crane operator.
I had that as a note as well. Like, you know, apparently there was an origin story where he did crane work, where they don't really talk about that. The other thing I noted about that is when the crane is spinning, the instructions are helpfully in English. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't notice.
Well, it was probably like a German company that built it. So it was obviously in English instead of German. Great point. Great point, Colin.
Yeah. So the crowd starts watching, which is another, I would say, maybe a direct lift from The Running Man, because the audience is now watching him do all of these feats along the way, and they're kind of cheering him on and all that. And then this is probably one of the highlights of the movie. He spins the crane. He has a decent plan to try to hook the end of the crane into the building and then probably slide down that, but he just has to take a running jump. There is an article on The Nerdist, the website, that goes through all the physics around what it would take and the speed it would take for him to actually make that jump. Not only is it a jump, but of course he lands where his arms are just barely hooking on the edge of the ledge. And I always love that. Like, I think about in the Star Trek remake when Kirk jumps from one platform two or three stories off and then lands with his arms on the platform and he's able to pull himself up. Like, I don't know how you do that. It's pretty impressive.
Well, I think the answer is that you can't do that. Yeah, you're dying.
Rip both your arms off and you would keep going down the side of the skyscraper.
I mean, you have to have gigantic steel claws in order to hold on.
You could do it if you were maybe 6'1", 110 and you're just all muscle. I don't think you're doing it if you're The Rock and what is he, probably 280? There's no way he's holding himself up.
He's getting about halfway on the jump and then just rocketing to the ground is what you're saying?
Even like just holding his own weight, he's just not going to, it's just not going to happen.
Muscle over speed is what he has is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Fair enough. But he does make it inside the building and of course the crowd cheers. There's one funny moment where there's one of the police officers who's monitoring the situation inside the control room and he goes, yeah. He's cheering him on. So I thought that was kind of funny. I like that.
Here's just another question I have about this. Forget all of the how does he actually execute this jump. I understand, you know, he wants to get his family out. The building's on fire, right? But of course, at this point, it's a few floors, but he wants to get them out. This seems a bit extreme in terms of getting back into the building. You know, I don't have kids. I know you guys do. But let's just say you were in that situation.
I'm not considering climbing up a crane 100 stories and then jumping off it into the building now.
I climb like 40 feet in the air and I'm shitting my pants because I don't like heights at all, which is another reason why maybe I find this movie interesting.
Okay, so it's not just me.
No.
But then I'm not an action movie hero. So
what I would do is I would go out there with Marcus and I would have Marcus take a running jump and see how far he got.
I didn't mind the crowd too much. It was kind of fun. It was, the way they get the shots are just ridiculous. You're not getting camera.
Like, oh, yeah. These are amazing shots from the news helicopters.
I had that written down. I'm like, where are these cameras? Like,
yeah.
Ignoring that part. But I think what they needed a Thornburg. They needed the like a guy there like commentating on it. That was kind of funny. You know, from Die Hard.
Yeah.
They needed something to tie it together better.
I think they did. Unfortunately, they were just talking in Cantonese and nobody could understand it.
And they didn't translate it.
They translated it in my version.
No, I actually, I was watching this version. They're speaking in Cantonese to each other and it's going on and on and on. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. Where are the English subtitles? Is this on purpose? And then I realized that, you know, this particular UHD version does not have that, has a problem. So I had to rent the HD version.
Oh, you got paid double. Lucky you.
Lo and behold, there are English subtitles. So to our viewing audience, don't rent the UHD version. Luckily, Amazon refunded my money, but
that's good too. Because I mean, this is a relatively complicated plot, so you wouldn't want to miss anything.
I know. I was like, yeah, I could basically figure it out.
And that's why I think the police were trying to provide that slightly comedic outside view of some sort, but they still didn't do that.
No, I didn't even see that.
I think there's very little humor in this movie.
Well, that's the problem. Like for a satire,
purposefully, but
anyway. Well, maybe, but like they need to let you in on something, right?
You know, Slim Pickens in Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah,
he actually is funny.
I know, but he was not shooting it as if he was making a comedy at the time.
I get that.
Right.
But there are other funny people around him.
Yes. And that's, yes. I agree.
If we're going to teach satire, maybe Marshall Ross and Thurber or Ross and Marshall Thurber should have watched Dr. Strangelove first before directing
his comedies are good. He's a good
I know. This is why I think Dave's totally off base here. I think that he was just, this is my chance to make an action movie, not a satire.
I'm not making comedy. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to make it a pure, this is my Die Hard.
What was the budget for this movie again?
$125 million.
So I don't think they're going to give this first-time action director $125 million when he goes, okay, guys, but just so you know, I'm doing this as a satire.
It's all a joke on you.
By the way, side note on that one, another director was considered to direct this, Roland Emmerich.
Well,
well, then it would have been a satire.
Then it would have been an unintentional satire.
There wasn't enough. Only one building blowing up, that's not enough for Roland to get out of bed.
He's like, Zhao says, luckily, I made a backup skyscraper.
So inside the building, the terrorists reveal themselves. And of course, there's the subplot where Zhao has something hidden in a safe. And so he runs to go get something in a safe and he's going to leave via helicopter on the roof. And when he gets up there, they recognize that the pilot is not his regular pilot. And there's a shootout with the bad guys. And then he runs back down and dives into his panic room. So the big titanium door is shut.
I was impressed with the, because he had his like smartwatch. I was really impressed. He never lost Bluetooth connection with anything. He was always be able to tap it. He didn't have to like.
He did the same move every single time to do whatever he needed to do in the building.
Yeah, he just double tap the watch and it would do whatever.
Tap swipe and he can do anything. Like tap swipe, open doors, tap swipe, access a panel, access
worked
whatever.
Every time. It was impressive technology.
The bad guys, so they walk out and Zhao and his entourage, they're going to get out of the helicopter and fly off. But that was not their pilot. So if the bad guys have their own pilot in the helicopter and they were planning to take Zhao away, you know, like capture him and take off that way. Why did they also plan to base jump off the building and they all had parachutes? So which is it, the helicopters or is it parachuting?
Based on the number of terrorists, could you get all those terrorists in the helicopter?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know how many suits there are.
Could you do that research and get back to me, please?
Why don't you ask Tig Notaro?
If Tig was flying that thing, no problem. They would have gotten away. The other thing that's happening is, so the kids are with Nev and they're running through the building. And what's happening is the building is, of course, on fire. So all the stuff that was pointed out in the exposition in terms of the big garden area and the interior, all that just basically starts burning. And you have this great moment where the Rock meets up with them. And there's a moment where, of course, this long bridge and then something falls and breaks the bridge. And there's a section that is now exposed and the kids on the other side. So they have to go through this process of putting a board down and then Neve Campbell walks across and picks up the kid and then comes back. But what's great about this scene is they want to give the Rock something to do to show his strength. And so his move is he's going to stabilize the bridge And as far as I can tell, he's grabbing two cables on the same side of the bridge and just squeezing them together. I don't know exactly what he's doing to stabilize the bridge in that situation. I think it's a little bit lame.
Yeah, that one didn't make much sense.
It didn't make any sense at all. I mean, what are you stabilizing exactly?
So I think what was going on there was that the edge of the walkway that they were on was actually
falling,
broken, and it was okay. It was buckled, and it was like, and so it itself was unstable, and they had to put the end of the board on that. So he's lifting that up to keep it stable so that the board is stable. What I want to know,
how is he lifting it anywhere though from a leverage standpoint? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
He's a rock. He's huge. He's got huge muscles.
No, that's fine. I mean, he could be really strong, but you're standing on something, you're pulling it towards you.
Pulling it up. He's just pulling it up. That's all.
Yeah, he's just holding up.
No, all right.
But I think the whole plan of having his wife go across so she can have the kid walk back across with the kid on her back just seems like the worst idea ever.
He might have been testing if the board could take the weight.
Get her hands and knees and just like shuffle over.
Yeah. Why is two people? That just seems like so much riskier.
Yeah.
And if you ever give a kid a piggyback ride, they're not the most stable of things. You're walking across this plank. That's not a good idea.
And Nev, sweetheart, can you maybe walk a little faster on your way back?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that one was overly dramatic and not.
It was kind of lame.
Yeah.
It was pretty lame.
It was pretty lame.
Not satirical lame, but just
it was
lame. It wasn't lame enough to be funny, though. Like, that's a problem.
What if I said this movie was slightly mocking other action movies? Could you go for that?
No.
No, because there's not enough, like, there's not enough tongue-in-cheek in it.
All right, I'm on an island. I get it.
You might be right. Like, you might be like, it's all a silent joke on his side, but I think they just doesn't go far enough to do it.
Dave's the only person in the world who got it.
After we publish this podcast, I'm going to get a message from Ross and Marshall Thurber, and he's going to go,
you get me.
Dude, you understand me. He's like, you got it.
It's just going to be big, and I do this in the voice of Ross from Friends. Thank you.
Okay. So they get across the bridge, and then he comes up with a way to get his wife and child, at least one of the kids, down through the fire. And so he sticks him in an elevator and he cuts the cable. And of course, there's a little bit of blah, blah, blah exposition. The magnetic thing will do this. You got to pull the lever. Okay, whatever. And then, of course, they go on this huge free fall ride down through the fire, which is kind of a fun moment from an action standpoint. But of course, a very goofy mechanic because, you know, you see the elevator come slamming in at the very end and it stops just floors before.
I liked it. It was the whole, you know, with the whole electromagnetic braking system.
Yeah, that was cool.
Once you fall down through the fire, hit the button and the brakes will stop it.
My only flaw was he forgot a daughter. Like, oh, the daughter was up. She's 10 feet away above us. I'll get her later. Let's send you out of here.
It would have been awesome is like if he just had waved to his daughter and then he got in the elevator with the other two. And then
we could always have another.
3/4 of the family made it.
I'm just wondering if you're the Rock and you've got this plan to use the electromagnetic braking system. I don't know if he's looking around, but the building's an inferno. I'd seriously be thinking, is it going to work down below there?
Well, that's a whole problem with the end, too. The entire building is being completely demolished in fire.
How about the fact they're just in the garden area and that's an enclosed interior space where all that heat is? I mean, it has to be like 500 degrees in there, right? So no one's surviving for more than 30 seconds. I mean, come on.
That's a good point. It's like literally like an oven in there.
It is.
Ouch.
But he does get his wife and child out of the building. They survive.
One child.
Then he goes to rescue his other daughter who gets captured, and the bad guys then force him to find a way to open the safe room, the panic room. And how does he do that? Well, he has to find the sub panel because, again, I love just techno gobbledygook in this. Where would you put such a sub panel? Where you'd put it right in the middle of one of your huge wind turbines. There's a fantastic sequence where he has to break through the window of the building and start to scale the side, and he's using duct tape to have a little extra traction as he's navigating his way out there. And this whole scene is just absolutely utterly ridiculous.
You did miss, I think there was one scene earlier where he had to perform like a self-surgery. So, you know, he's a tough guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Duct tape himself up.
There's so many 80s influences in this movie, right? That's the John McClane pulling glass out of your foot moment.
Oh, I thought it was the John Rambo stitches moment from First Blood.
It's the Rambo 3 moment inside the cave where he puts gunpowder inside his bullet wound and cauterizes it.
In First Blood, didn't he have to stitch himself up?
Yeah, he stitched himself up and then he cauterized a wound in Rambo 3. So, some experience there. That whole sequence is pretty hilarious. I mean, he leans out the window and he says, this is stupid, at the moment as a character, so.
I don't actually remember that moment, but that might be the only satirical moment in the movie.
He's a proxy for the audience.
This idea of he's got to get to this subroutine panel and it's in the most inaccessible place between these wind turbines. He's got to access it from outside of the building and all this shit. I mean, first of all, it's like trying to disable the tractor beam on the Death Star.
That's exactly what it is.
And then it's also like a video game where he's got to time it correctly to jump between the blades.
Yeah, he's playing Mario Brothers all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just like, who's the idiot that designed this? Where this subroutine panel is there. But then again, it's supposed to be inaccessible, so I sort of get it. My big question about this, because, you know, he's got to get the subroutine panel because that's really the only way that he can open up Zhao's panic room. How was it so easy for him to find that? What about the bad guys? Why couldn't they find that?
He was studying the building for 6 months, so he knew everything about the building.
Why weren't the villains studying the building for 6 months?
Because they're dumb villains. The dumb terrorists.
All right.
They had other bad guy things to do.
Yeah, they had to extort people. Their strengths are extorting construction sites. His strengths are finding weaknesses in buildings.
I skipped past it, but I honestly think it doesn't work. They tell him that he has to find a way to open the door or they're going to kill his daughter. And then you see him slowly put his head up and he gives you the rock stare. He's really pissed off at that point. It doesn't work at all. I think that's a goof. I really do. I'll just appreciate it that way. So there's a dramatic moment where he ends up, he's hanging upside down by his, again, his foot. So,
his prosthetic foot.
I don't think I would have the core strength to pull myself up to get a rope if I was hanging by my foot. I admire his core strength to be able to do that.
That's believable.
That's believable that I couldn't do it or the rock could do it?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, you could probably do it. It'd be tough, but
I don't know, man. I think it would be really, really hard. Slightly complicated by the fact that I would be terrified out of my mind, the fact that I'm hanging 1,000 feet off the ground on the side of a building.
Look, if I'm hanging off the side of a building, I probably would be able to do it. You know, he's making his way along the outside of the building, 200 stories up, and he's tied to nothing but a rope, a flimsy rope. At what point does fear just take over and he just freezes? He cannot move. He can't go forward. He can't go backward. He's just, oh God, I'm fucked. And serious panic takes over. Because I'm thinking that's what's going to happen if I have to do that.
Oh, man, you can't even get me close to the window at that point if the window's open. Like, forget it.
If you actually somehow found your way on the outside, no.
Well, he does make it back, though. He finds Zhao, or he's able to get into his panic room. And then the two of them conspire with a plan in terms of what they're going to do when they get up to the roof. And so they go up to the roof, and they find all of the terrorists that are up there. And now all of a sudden they have parachutes. So to Colin's point, luckily they had those, even though apparently they were going to take a chopper at one point. But then did you guys notice that all of a sudden the Rock has a sword? Did you guys catch that?
It was in his panic room.
But he's sword fighting. So I like that. That's pretty cheesy.
When are we going to talk about the MacGuffin? Because this was the big reveal when they're in Zhao's panic room before they went up to the top.
Ooh, please talk about it. What do you think about the MacGuffin, Colin?
It's fucking ridiculous.
It's dumb. It's data tracking all the payments they made because these guys were extorting them.
Let me just break it down for the audience. So Zhao hid tracking software in his wire transfer. Okay, no. You can't do that. Botha laundered payments through offshore accounts, and Zhao was able to trace all of these transactions and gather the bank accounts, the names, the identities of all these syndicate members. And so this was Zhao's insurance policy against Botha forever extorting him again.
Now, wasn't Botha working for someone else?
Yeah, he's working for the syndicates.
Okay.
So the syndicates found out that they were compromised, and they threatened to destroy Botha unless he cleaned up his mess. Zhao says that copies of the information will be sent to the authorities if Botha ever kills Zhao. But here's the key to this. If Botha obtains the original, then he can reverse engineer Zhao's tracking software and hide the syndicate's identities before any authorities can find out.
Why doesn't he just change all that stuff now?
Yeah.
Exactly. As a MacGuffin, it makes no sense.
The whole fact that the whole plan is to let's light the building on fire and he'll take what he values most is like the entire plan seems a little bit goofy.
Yeah. Well, I love how Botha says earlier in the film, light a man's house on fire and you find out what he truly loves. And I was like, huh?
Why can't he just do it in a fireproof safe and just collect it after?
First of all, how do you hide tracking software in a wire transfer? So the bank does the transfer. So you'd basically have to hack the bank's software. They're not like the quote unquote wire transfer, right? But what good does that do? Because he would both.
You already know what account you're transferring it to.
Both that would then transfer the money to other bank accounts and so on and so on and so on. So yeah. Zhao has no control over the software of those other banks. So
no.
There is no way to hack the wire transfer. So that doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, like even if he was able to do that, that all that information is already known to Zhao. Who cares if Botha was able to reverse engineer it? He can't change it. Like, it's already known.
So the MacGuffin actually, it honestly makes no sense. It makes sense that he would hold it as a blackmail device. That would make sense potentially. Although you assume if the syndicates know that he has this information that they would start changing and retiring all their accounts.
They would just change all that information.
So effectively, even as he has it, the value of having that information would be immediately diminishing over time and to the point of where it would be pointless.
Yeah, it should have just been Infinity Stones or something stupid like that.
There is no way. It's not like, is it like Bitcoin? Is it a cryptocurrency? I mean, maybe you could do this with cryptocurrency.
That would be more interesting.
Right,
but it's probably more complicated, and they're like, we're not going to bother with that plot.
Right, but this does not work.
Yep.
Colin, this might be a good time to reveal your side hobby of monetary policy and international banking.
Sorry. Well, I do work at the IMF. Oh, no, wait, no, I don't.
They're up on the roof. The Rock has a sword. They get into a fight, and this is where they go inside the Pearl. And this is very much the ending of Total Recall.
So before that was my favorite line.
Oh, okay.
Because the negotiating with the terrorists, give me the... Well, I don't even know what they called it. The device, the egg.
The idol. Throw me the idol.
Throw me the whip.
And he's like, first I need a parachute. And so Botas like turns to one of the henchmen. Give him your parachute. The guy's like, huh? Right? That was the best moment. He's like, I'm not giving him my parachute. What am I going to have? Just like, it was a great little moment.
Also stupid because then he just puts a gun to his head. It's like, give him your parachute. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm just going to die anyway. Just go ahead and get it over with now rather than me, like, you know, burning to death or jumping.
And that guy is armed, right? So, I mean, as soon as he takes off his parachute, he just shoots the guy and takes his own parachute back.
Exactly.
It's every man for himself at that point when the fire is just a few floors below you.
Once your leader threatens to shoot you in the head, after that, I'm pretty much turning on everyone and I'm mowing them all down.
I just jump off the building and go find my own way.
Later, suckers.
Fuck this. I didn't sign up for this.
They get inside the Pearl, and this is where they have all the screens that show up. And again, I really do think this is straight out of Total Recall, right? So you remember the end of Total Recall when they're in the Martian machine? He keeps stepping on either side. He's like, you think this is the real Quaid, blah, blah, blah. And they replicate that by having him show up.
Please explain this more, because for some reason, and I've seen the movie a million times, I'm not understanding or remembering the scene that you're talking about.
At the end, when they're having the gunfight, he uses the holographic projector to put his body in different locations. And then people keep trying to shoot the hologram, and then he ends up, you know, gunning down the bad guys.
Okay, because they did that earlier when they showed how that worked.
Right.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. You think this is the real Quaid?
Exactly.
It is.
Right. Okay.
Nice recall on the line, Marcus. I'm impressed.
There you go. Total recall on those lines.
So there's lots of shooting, fighting, and then eventually... There's lots of fire. You know, this thing, everybody would be like 900 degrees. Everybody would be just cooked at this moment. But putting that aside, the main bad guy, what's his name again?
Botha.
Botha goes, so he does a Hans Gruber out the middle of the floor with a grenade, actually. So it's a little different than Die Hard because the grenade blows him up in midair. So.
Nice out the window with the grenade moment. Yeah.
I like that. I thought that was pretty good.
I call bullshit on the whole Will surrendering to Botha, and then he's, but I'm behind you. And then he kicks him out. No, you were clearly in front. Like, there was clearly no mirror or high-tech screen in front of them.
Right, Marcus. So go ahead and do the Total Recall line again. What does Quaid say?
I forgot now.
Marcus says, total awful recall.
Marcus Kasperzak with no recall. But then, of course, so he's up there at the end and he's holding his daughter because they're about to get fried. And so he just wants to embrace her as their flesh starts to burn. And down there, so Neve Campbell has...
This could have been actually a really interesting ending if he's like, oh, we're going to burn to death. And he just picks up a gun and like shoots her in the head. And then it turns out that they save everyone.
Yeah, that reminds me. We should do The Mist for Friday Night Friends.
That's, yes. Honestly, that would have been a real fucking downer ending to this movie.
Instead, so this is where Nev Campbell has, via the tablet that, again, was unlocked one time with his face like an hour ago, but is still working. She's had the foreshadowing and the training early in the movie that if a device isn't working, if you reboot it, it'll solve all your problems. And sure enough, that's what she does. She reboots the entire skyscraper.
It is pretty true. And FYI, they did remove the facial recognition from the tablet before the German hacker did before he got shot in the head.
That's true.
So that was not an issue. However, yeah, rebooting a $6.5 billion skyscraper security and facilities system while the building is half on fire and then expecting it to just miraculously come back up, all systems online in green. Yeah, no.
It is very helpful, though, as a viewer to understand red and green, because red bad, green good.
Yeah, so I don't know how the wires didn't melt or how the fire systems operated 100 stories of pure fire.
I completely agree. I was going to say the entire building would have melted and potentially collapsed at that point. But
yeah,
a police helicopter goes and picks him up, and this is where he has the ultra dramatic music swelling reunion, Adrian yelling moment where he's looking for his wife, and then he says he has the best family in the world, and they hug dramatically in front of a crowd of all the people, all the onlookers who have been watching all of his exploits.
But then Carl comes out of the crowd and Dwayne Johnson, oh wait, no, sorry.
Wrong. Yeah. Not far from that, though.
Well, personally, I thought, because when they come down from the helicopter, a bunch of army guys run up, and I thought they were going to just, you know, arrest Will, because up to that point, it had been, you know, his face was plastered on TVs, you know, with Manhunt. And I think it was maybe they thought that he had killed Ben or something. I don't even know why he was the subject of a manhunt at that point. And that was earlier in the film. Anyone?
Someone called it in.
Okay.
This is way, way late to do this, but I did want to go back to Ben's motivations. So Ben's motivations for being a bad guy, it comes down to one sentence that he says.
Why'd you take it out of the bag? You should have just left it in the bag.
Ben, what are you talking about?
Give me the tablet, Will.
Whoa. What's going on?
What's going on? You screw up. You get a whole new life. What do I get? Medical discharge? Working for thugs? You don't know these people, Will. I don't have a choice. You messed it up.
And that's his explanation of why he's a bad guy.
He could have gone into security consulting.
That's a little thin. It's like, what about the idea of maybe taking some college courses or perhaps getting some training, maybe some vocational training? You know, you don't have to just be a murderous thug or work for the FBI. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic dichotomy when it comes to making a decision.
Yeah, and he only got his like neck burned and poor Will lost his leg.
Right.
Come on.
The plot point that they use in terms of his partner is just utterly stupid and ridiculous.
It's par for the movie.
Oh, totally. Well, okay, so this would be the time. Any other last random thoughts, questions, or anything else you want to say before we get to our closing thoughts?
Yeah, so we covered the Adrian moment as well when he gets out of the helicopter, is looking for his family. I want to know, is Zhao going to be out another $3 billion or more when he has to rebuild the second half of his skyscraper?
It wasn't insured.
He had not purchased any insurance on the building yet. Is there any construction insurance? Is there like anything? And also, what kind of businessman are you if you wait until like the very end to get your building insured?
Could you even start construction if you didn't have insurance?
Yeah, it doesn't seem quite right to me. I'm not sure how they're doing things over in Hong Kong, but I don't know.
Also, they never really even explained what kind of tech he was into. He was just tech billionaire. It wasn't like any like, oh, he was like, he made his money in social networks or he made his money in whatever it might be. So it's just very like generic.
I think he made his money in anti-fire measures because they held up really well under a massive fire.
That is true.
Skyscraper design, perhaps?
Either that or he builds, you know, these HD panels.
Oh, he did make a lot of those. Maybe it could have been like a VR environment or something like that. Or like
he had purchased like 25,000 of them. So
that's where I think they could have done a better job. Okay, give him an actual like, oh, he's like an energy, like he made his money in energy efficiency and he's using this building. Like there's no reason for him to build the building anyways either. He's just like showing off like, hey, I'm building a tallest building in the world. Ain't that cool? Whereas it could have been, they could have done a lot more with.
It's almost like a billionaire flying to space just because they can.
Yeah, but at least that's like a little more interesting than just building a building. The billionaires with the space programs are actually all building kind of businesses out of it. His was just going to be amusement park. Like, oh, we have a garden. I want to like rent some houses and people come visit this pearl thing. It doesn't seem like a great plan.
It's a glorified shopping mall and with residences.
Apartments. Yep.
Yeah, because that's what tech billionaires want to build.
Yeah, and a high-tech gimmick at the top.
And like a weird wind turbine thing that powers the whole thing.
Yeah, so I was going to say, that's my one question, which is, those are supposed to be wind turbines that are actually powering the building, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does that mean the wind was blowing constantly while he was up on the side of the skyscraper, enough that it was actually moving those turbines? And then why, when he pressed a button, if those things were wind-powered, did it speed up?
Yes, the wind is powering them because it's pretty windy up there.
You've been there?
I've been on the top of other buildings and
200 stories.
It'd be like pretty windy.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know if it's going to be generate enough to do that.
And then, to power the entire building?
They only had like two of them, right? I don't know if you've seen like the hills with the turbines. There's like thousands of them.
Well, yeah. And a lot of them are not moving when you drive past it. That's why I was asking. So.
Yeah. I thought it was a really interesting building. I would like to have seen more of it. Whatever.
Would you like to have seen more of it on fire?
I think they covered most of it.
Yeah.
It was a good fire. Nice firework.
If I'm Will and I've just saved half of his building and, saved himself or saved Zhao in the process, I think I might be asking for a little bit of a reward, you know?
You want a tip on that $5,000 assessment?
Yeah.
A little bonus?
I think I'm going to just come out and say like, hey, Zhao, how about a little something, for the effort?
If this movie had made, $700-800 million, then there would have been a sequel and he would have been the head of Zhao's security, don't you think?
Probably. Yeah.
And it would have been, he would have been built the Pearl too. Maybe that one would have also caught on fire. I don't know.
Oh, they already built that one. It's in Hokkaido. Secret secret government.
Contact? Yeah. Contact. Okay. why build one when you can build two for twice the price?
Want to go for a ride?
Maybe we should do Contact.
Maybe.
All right. Well, I'm ready to move on to closing thoughts for this film because it is spectacularly impressive. Colin, your thoughts?
This is a pretty fun, though somewhat forgettable, action picture. I think it scores high on the ridiculousness scale. While the skyscraper itself looks very new, very cool, very just sort of amazing, the story, the execution, the acting just don't compare to classic disaster films and, of course, Die Hard. This is really just sort of a Die Hard ripoff. And I also think it's just sort of like another somewhat mediocre Dwayne Johnson action movie. I will go out and see Jumanji, or I'll stay in and see Jumanji. But I don't think that he's got a ton of on-screen appeal. I know he's like charming and stuff, and there's something there. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like I can just keep waiting for him to make like a real breakthrough, to have a real breakthrough film.
He's like one of the biggest action stars out there. I don't know what you're talking about.
And yet this movie made only like, what, $68 million in the US?
Yeah.
I take it you never saw Rampage?
No. It did not look very good. Was it? Did you watch it?
I watched it.
And?
It's just stupid.
Well, there you go. Stupid. See, it's just stupid. I mean, maybe, would you say that he's like today's Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, it's pretty close, like comparable.
Because I think he needs to be in a role like Jumanji. He's very charming, great charisma. I actually think he has some pretty good comedic timing. But when you put him in a straight action movie, I don't think it works, which is why when you put him in this action movie, I think it works. Because,
again, well, maybe that's why we did not think that it worked, because there was no comedy.
All right. What's your letter grade, Colin?
I give it a C+.
Okay. Marcus?
I would echo a lot of Colin's. I don't think it's that fun of a movie. I think it's just a kind of mindless action movie. It's missing the fun to me. Like, there's not the one-liners. It just doesn't go far enough. If it's trying to be satire or goofy or fun, it just misses that. It just plays it far too straight. It's not serious enough to be a serious movie. It's not funny enough to be a funny movie. It's just very, like, very, very flat and very kind of boring. Like, it's a very forgettable movie. And I would probably give it a probably just to see. The scenes are fun. Like, it's well kind of constructed. Like, if you ignore plot and characters. Like, the skyscraper looks great. The special effects and all those aspects of it. The action's kind of good. But it's just very, very flat movie. So I'd give it a, just a C.
Well, I will give it a B minus. And I will say that I think this movie is ridiculously stupid. But to the point where I will maintain that I believe if you watch this movie with a certain, from a certain perspective, and I understand it's only my perspective and it's a warped perspective and that's okay. But if you pretend that The Rock didn't know that he was making just a very subtle satire and you watch this movie all the way through, I find it to be very enjoyable for that reason. I think some of the action sequences are, or I think it's a very good looking film from both the design of the action sequences, and I also just think, I think the production design inside the skyscraper looks really cool. The interiors are really well done. And I think The Rock is fun, but the reason why I like this movie is not because I'm consuming it as it was potentially intended, but I'm putting a little bit of a warped lens on it and thinking that if this is a very subtle satire and it's making a mockery of action films, I think in some respects it does a good job at that. And I understand that's just my opinion, and I will maintain that opinion. For example, I had a good time rewatching it. It was fun. So I like it.
If you'd like to put that lens on a movie, maybe you should watch a Serbian film and you can come out and it'll be like a subversive Disney film.
I'm thinking I'm going to take a hard pass on a Serbian film, but thank you. Thank you for the offer.
Oh, you never know.
All right. Well, speaking of our next movie, it's time for Marcus to make his selection. Marcus, I just tortured you with Skyscraper, although you just threw Natural Born Killers at us last time around, so I don't have a lot of sympathy for you, but...
That was a while ago, and that's far more interesting. And
let me ask you, hey, Colin, would you rather rewatch Skyscraper or Natural Born Killers?
Skyscraper.
Okay, there you go. All right, Marcus, what film are we going to be watching next?
Let's do an actual action director. Let's do Tony Scott's, and we will go with his Last Boy Scout, 1991, The Last Boy Scout. I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't remember it too well. Bruce Willis, Damon Wayans. I think it'll be a fun one.
I think I've only seen that movie a couple times, and it was back in, I think it was 1991, is that what you said? That's when it came out? Yeah, there's an interesting history of that film when it comes to the screenplay and Shane Black and how much money he got for the screenplay and all that. So there's some stuff we can talk about there.
It is the 30-year anniversary for the movie, so let's see how it holds up 30 years later.
Cool. I used to watch it a lot. Had it on video, on VHS. I believe Chelsea Ross is in that and plays the senator. I think that's who plays the senator.
I just remember the jingle that Friday night's a good night for football. I remember that in the beginning.
It'll be fun.
Tony Scott does action.
Not the best Tony Scott film, but it should be interesting.
And I've, you're 100% sure you don't want to do Crimson Tide instead if you're looking for a Tony Scott film?
No. Well, okay. Also, I like Enemy of the State was tempting too. That was the other one I actually was kind of interested in. But
you know, I rewatched that about a year ago, and it was much better than I remembered.
I have a list of Tony Scott films I might choose from my next couple.
We're just going to keep going Tony Scott for a while?
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
But if you want Tony Scott and Gene Hackman, then Crimson Tide is the call.
Yeah. Colin and I are still trapped in the Zack Snyder vortex, and we can't escape that.
You need a break out of that one.
All right, so we'll be back with The Last Boy Scout, or Colin and I will be back with some sort of a Zack Snyder film. Not sure what'll come up next. We hope you enjoyed our conversation about Skyscraper, where Colin and Marcus just don't see the brilliant satire that I do. Yeah, I am probably in the wrong here, but what the hell? It amuses me, so that's why I like this movie.
Dave, are you going to watch it again?
Skyscraper?
Yeah.
Not right away. Maybe years from now. So
maybe next week.
Well, if it's such a brilliant satire, I think you'd want to watch it over and over.
Maybe on a plane sometime down the road, years down the road.
I will probably never watch that movie again. So
yeah, that's understandable.
I'll throw on Rampage and see how that one compares.
That one might be worse than this one. I'm not sure. They're probably just, if you're looking at it from a pure action movie standpoint, probably relatively similar in terms of where they end up.
I haven't seen San Andreas either.
I've never seen that. I've watched the wave sequence on YouTube to see what that was like, because I find large waves scary.
Now I'm wondering, are there other movies that you think are secret satires?
I don't think so. I'd have to think about that. I'll get back to you on that. How about that? I'll take that as a homework assignment.
Okay. I'll ping you next week about that.
I really do think that there's something that's going on when you look at that Justice League lineup. I really do.
I've watched it about 20 times, and Marcus, he's watched it a few times too. and we see nothing.
You can't watch that scene without the way that the camera hits Jason Momoa. You can't think that that was anything but intentional. I'm sorry. I'll go to my grave with that belief. So, anyways.
It must be fun to live in your world.
Not always. It's scary in here. So. And with that, we hope you enjoyed our, I don't know, again, we were not in alignment on this movie, but that's okay. So hope you enjoyed our rambling conversation about The Rock taking on a skyscraper. And otherwise, I think we'll just say that this is the Real DMC Podcast, signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Reboot this.
A satire would be like if The Rock walked up to the skyscraper and punched it, it just fell over, like Mongo and the horse.
Colin, your audio is a little bit garbled, actually.
What? What are you talking about?
it was for a second there.
All right. Are you sure about that? Are you sure? How's this? How's
the predator?
This?
No, you're making the. You were the, doing the predator for a second.
How did you do the predator?
What do you mean?
Apparently, Dave's got a predator in the office with him.